excited about this. I have Elaine Banda here with me, and I am going to talk with her, ask her questions about her work with the Alaska Occupational Safety and Health. Elaine, what is your position title?
Oh, well, hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. I am a training specialist. However, I do wear many hats. I'm a training specialist, a training coordinator. I maintain training records, which all falls under the umbrella of training specialist.
Excellent.
And I've been with OSHA, Alaska OSHA, for 6 years, since 2012.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's been a little bit of time.
It's been a little bit.
6 years. And what do you do? You say safety and training coordinator.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me a little more detail?
Okay. Well, as the coordinator, I coordinate all different types of training involving safety. So, like, if people are in the safety field, when I say a OSHA 30 hour or OSHA 10 hour, they'll know what that is. Because at the end of the training, they'll get a certification card. So I put together, I coordinate a 30 hour or coordinate a 10 hour. That's what I do as a coordinator. I also make sure that all of the safety, whether it's enforcement or a consultant, they receive the training that they need to make sure they're up to date. And if they're going out to employers, you know, they are qualified to do their job. I do a lot. So I also act as a youth coordinator. I go out to do, our youth training specialist or whatever. I deal with youth in the public schools. I go out and do what we call a safety awareness training, just teaching them, young people who are entering the workplace. I talk to them about their rights in the workplace and their, what they are, that their protections that they have in the workplace. I go to regular schools, places like McLaughlin Center, Job Corps, just
excellent,
all over, because a lot of times kids don't know what rights they have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Their parents may not know or may not realize they don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go out, teachers will bring me in, I talk to them, to the students about that.
What a broad range of what
and
you
I also
do.
I put together, just like if a employer calls and said, well, we need training on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I've done leadership type training. So just a broad range. And if I can't do it, I have the resources to get somebody in to do that type of training, specialized training.
So when you're doing, for instance, the 30 hour, you don't teach every piece of that.
Oh my goodness.
You bring in specialists. You bring in people.
Right.
Great. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you work with lots of databases and lots of people and lots of figuring out, first of all, who needs to be requalified and who needs the training that you could provide, or who needs the 30 hour, the 10 hour, whatever it is that is available.
And the great thing is that with that, people usually call me and say,
true, they can see on their card,
yeah,
this is due.
or an organization would say, I want my people trained. Can we get a 30 hour?
Yeah.
Can we get a 10 hour? Or people will say, we'll have a bunch of new people in and I want them to at least get their 10 hour training. So they'll call me.
Nice.
And then if they have enough people, then we can set it up and do a training specifically for them. Then ACOSH, we do yearly 10 hours. So we'll do a 10 hour in February.
Cool.
A 10-hour in general industry, and then a 10-hour in construction in March. And we do that every year.
Excellent. So people that don't have enough people, people to do a training session,
right,
or are just coming in as an individual, then they know, okay, February, March, I'm going to come do these two,
yeah,
or do one of these two
with
and
ACOG,
have it be available. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. How did you get there? What is your path?
Oh, that's a good question. The path to ACOSH,
because yes,
that's Alaska Occupational Safety and Health.
There you go.
My personal path, really, I started out in the military, which most people have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I served 10 years in the Air Force.
Excellent.
And that was a long time ago. And then I got out, I separated, and immediately, I'll say my last day, my separation date with the military was July 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And then August 4th, I was working for the state.
Holy moly, that's fast.
I know, 4 days.
Great.
And I started with the state in 97. And fortunately, when I was in the military, I was able to get my bachelor's degree.
Oh, nice.
And that afforded me the opportunity to apply for different positions and move up in the state. So I was an adjudicator for unemployment. I was a case manager. I was a supervisor. And the job before that, this where I am now, I was a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
But the program lost its funding.
Oh, dear.
And
yes.
I was either going to be unemployed, mm-hmm, or I'd have to find a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had, well, somewhere in between there, I got my master's in adult education.
Good.
Somewhere between all of that.
Nice.
And this particular job came open, and I applied for it, and she hired me. And then the rest is history. I've been here for working for ACOSH since 2012.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
You've got a path that's, now that I hear it, is quite logical. You've gained more and more and more experience and knowledge about how to educate, how to teach, and you teaching with working with youth. That is wonderful.
And what's
getting them as they're coming up.
Yeah, and I work with youth and adults.
Yes.
That's what's really rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Is I see both sides of the spectrum. So
good. I love it.
Uh-huh.
That's really neat. And you also, I understand through Kimberly, you also teach at the university.
Oh,
how
true.
Did that happen, and what do you teach?
Well, this is an interesting story. So remember, I was in the military.
Yeah.
And my last duty assignment, I worked for the safety office. I was the safety manager, administrator. I can't remember. They don't even have the career field now.
Uh-huh.
But it was like an admin safety person.
Uh-huh.
And I did that, and I had a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I exited the military, separated. And then in 2013, or maybe 2012, it had been 12 or 13, I ran into my old supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, he had just taken over. He became the OSHA department chair at the university. And he says, "Oh, Elaine, I am going to be hiring some adjuncts."
Excellent.
And because we had kept in touch throughout the year, so he knew I had already finished my master's.
Yeah,
and
you have
knew,
that education that you'd need.
Yeah, he knew that. And he already knew my work ethics because he was my supervisor back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so he said, "I'm going to be hiring or putting together my adjunct team here, and I want you to teach a couple of classes." And I said, "How do you know that I'm qualified?" He said, "Oh, I know because blah, blah, blah. I can't remember. But I teach a training class, and that's really a public speaking class." So a lot of times we have safety people who know how to do their jobs, but they don't know how to teach or train or speak. You may have an electrician or someone who's been in the trenches, and then they find themselves all of a sudden in front of a crowd or their coworkers doing a training on their job, but they don't know how to do it effectively.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
The nerves pop up and they're
frustrated. Reading directly from the PowerPoint.
Yes, every single page.
Yes.
So you teach them how to
make
do that present. Oh, what a good idea. Because that changes their ability from, yes, they know their job. Mm-hmm. Now they know how to talk about their job.
Exactly. And how to stay safe.
And yes.
Other than just... You know, but just do it because I say so.
Exactly. Do it because this really matters, and this is why.
Yes.
Yay.
So I teach that class. And then I teach another class. It's more of a managerial type class that I teach. So, yeah, I teach every semester.
Excellent. Yeah. So you are a busy person.
I am.
Yes. Now, are you, and I didn't get a chance to check in with you on this one, so if need be, how are you connected to AGC? What's your experience with AGC?
Oh, well, I am on their safety committee.
Oh, excellent.
So the one thing about my job, which, I wear many hats, I also do outreach. I am attached to consultation and training. In consultation and training, that's the section that goes out to employers and helps employers abate or fix any type of hazards.
Oh.
Free of charge.
Wow.
You know, if employers like, oh, I have a new business and can you come in and help me with, you know, look around and make sure my place is safe, they'll come out and do that. We also have a component called outreach. And that's being involved in the community, promoting safety and health.
Okay.
And so that's how I became a member of AGC Safety Committee earlier, like in January, February of this year.
Of this year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I think that your kind of background would be really useful because you can communicate back to the folks that you need to, and you're also communicating well with the folks that you're connected to here.
Exactly.
How interesting.
Exactly.
I was curious. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah. So I go to the safety meetings, and we actually, meaning the ACOSH and AGC, we have co-sponsored training. Like, we co-sponsored a Silica training this summer,
which
was a huge success.
Silica is such a big deal right now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then we attended their safety fair that they have every year. So we partner together on different projects.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now, as a young person, to a young person who's just starting out, what would you say, what would you recommend for them if they're interested in safety, health, administration, education, any of the pieces that you've touched on and that you work in, what would you recommend to a young person?
If they're interested in safety, I would say first, if you don't have any experience in the field, I was fortunate that my initial experience came in the military.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that, I would say take a class.
Great.
To determine whether or not this is something that interests you. And if it does interest you, then continue to take a class. But also, you know, I'm old school. I worked full-time and went to school. If you're taking a class, try to get a job in the industry, whether it be part-time or a temp job, while you're going to school, to get your experience, so that when you graduate, and you can say that I have not only that degree, but I have a certain level of experience.
Yes, that's fantastic. I think it's extremely important, and I recognize and agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand what it is, first of all, what you're studying for, because you're working in it, that makes you a much more viable employee ultimately.
Exactly.
And you're studying and utilizing stuff that you can bring to the job the next day.
Exactly.
So any of that's going to help. Now, in your position, or even throughout your career here, Now, are you from Alaska originally?
No, I feel like it. I've been up here since 92.
Oh, you've got a few years here.
Yeah, over 20 years up here. Yeah. And I came up here through the military.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then I got out because I had a job immediately. And then just stayed.
Yes.
You know, and I'll say this. I didn't say, when I grow up, I'm going to be a safety trainer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just be honest. Like most people, I just wanted a job because I needed to pay bills.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I needed a certain level of education. Because at the time, the world was changing.
Mm-hmm.
When I was coming through, you know, we did typing and we worked. I came through when we had typewriters.
I did, too.
You know?
Exactly.
And by the time I got out of the military, my career field had just gone away. Because the computers and the whole IT, you know, it just took over.
Mm-hmm.
So I was faced with, and I didn't really have any technical skills
mm-hmm.
other than typing.
Exactly.
You know, and I have good work ethics, all
yeah.
the intangible stuff,
uh-huh.
you know, pretty good personality,
uh-huh.
I'm punctual, all the things that typically supervisors appreciate in an employee.
Exactly.
Those are the things that were in my control.
Yeah.
So I didn't wake up saying, oh, I want to be a trainer, but I knew that I needed a certain level of education so that I could progress in this very competitive society that we have. And so I chose, my bachelor's is in management.
Excellent.
And my master's is in education, so
mm-hmm.
I wanted a combination
mm-hmm.
of a degree that could help me get any kind of job.
Not just a teaching job and
exactly.
not just a management job, but the combination which you have basically found and some ways formed.
Yeah, and that's the whole to having a multidiscipline component to your portfolio.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I wanted. So I didn't just wake up and say I wanted to be in safety, but I knew I had to equip myself with different things like education,
mm-hmm.
like experience,
mm-hmm.
like those really good intangible traits.
Yeah, exactly.
That would make me a desirable employee.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened that this position here came open.
Yeah.
And it was right up my alley.
Yeah, it fills so many of the levels that you know,
mm-hmm.
gained more, because you also learn. You know how to learn really well.
Absolutely.
You're the ideal employee, what you're describing, because you have that work ethic.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, I'm coming into this. I'm going to do a good job.
Yeah.
That really, it made it, and it shows it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Fascinating.
And it's interesting because, you know, safety is a male-dominated
Very
area.
Much. Mm-hmm.
But there are women in the safety field.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in my office, our chief of the big cheese, if
uh-huh.
you will, was a woman.
Fantastic.
You know, our director is a woman. So, you know, there are women in the field. It's just that you really have to have yourself equipped and prepared to compete in this type of industry.
In that vein, do you find, and maybe this extends out further,
mm-hmm.
do you find any barriers
mm-hmm.
as you've been coming up into this position, as you are, as a woman in a field that is relatively dominated by men? Yeah. Do you find any barriers, and what might those be?
And I would say they're always going to be barriers if you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially a woman in a male-dominated area. Because if you don't have skills mm-hmm. to do a particular job, like I'm not a construction worker, then I'm not going to be in the field at all. But then there are other avenues like the training.
Mm-hmm.
The barriers come with there are not a lot of positions available.
That makes sense.
You know,
yeah,
they're just not a lot. Sometimes dealing with the opposite gender can be quite challenging.
Yes.
You know, because men are just different than women.
That's true.
And,
that's true.
You know, you have to figure out ways around communicating.
Communication, yeah.
Yes, because I'm more of the person that I don't believe in making fun of people or being sarcastic or, you know, using certain language where you hear that a lot mm-hmm. in the field, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes.
You just do.
Exactly.
And if you're not on board with certain types of, I don't know, attitudes, it can make it difficult. Mm-hmm. I work in a really good office, I must say.
Good.
But, you know, just coming up, just being in the military,
uh-huh,
that's
uh-huh.
male-dominated. Yep. I've had a lot of... I've never even thought about that. How from the military to being an adjudicator, a lot of... experience or spend a lot of time in male-dominated fields.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even thought about that.
And honestly, I think that that's part of who you are.
Maybe.
Because you don't think about it. You recognize that it might be there.
Well, I didn't recognize it till just now.
I know, I hear you. That's great. I love it. But you're also... You're a worker. You're a person who
right.
does the job. And it doesn't especially matter if it's a male or a female that you're teaching or working with or training. It's the person. It's the job. It's what you want to impart.
Yeah.
Sometimes I imagine some of the training might evolve a bit, depending on if you've got an entire room of men or a mixed men and women. But not terribly.
And
I wouldn't even think that
you're
much.
You're right. As long as I feel like, you know, when I go out and do training...
Mm-hmm.
Most of the students are men. I don't care whether I'm training at the university or whether I'm doing a 30-hour. I think that when you are confident with your knowledge
there
and
you go.
What it is,
yeah.
it really should not make a difference. And I don't even think about that. Oh, Elaine, you're the only woman in the room.
No,
I don't know if it's because it's been that way since I was in the military.
Probably.
So
yeah.
I don't get intimidated by that.
No.
But it takes that type of mentality to be in this type of field. Like our director, she's a journeyman. A lineman, electrician,
uh-huh.
you know, in a real male-dominated field.
Uh-huh.
But you don't look at her because she's a woman. You look at her because she was, you know, good at her job.
Her
and
knowledge.
Now she's a director
exactly.
of, you know, of this whole division. So,
exactly.
yeah, it takes that type of mentality.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I totally agree with you with the mm-hmm. whole attitude, your attitude and your true understanding that you know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you are teaching people to get them up to whatever speed they need to be. Attitude is everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It plays a big role.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That might be a good message too. To
exactly.
the young ladies, to the young men that are coming up, even if they don't get to the type of position you are in, if they're looking at other positions, don't forget your attitude.
Absolutely. And it's not like, you know, it's not like every job I applied for that, oh, I got it. I was hired the first. I have a stack of rejection letters, you know, at least 2 inches thick, well, maybe 3 inches now over the course of the years.
Uh-huh.
The attitude is to continue to try and don't give up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times people, when they apply for one job,
yep.
I'll hear them, oh, I'm going to get this job or... Well, it's one job, you're one person, and, you know, sometimes we have one position open,
yeah.
and we'll have 30 people to apply for one job.
Exactly.
So, you know, don't give up and keep trying. Especially if you're a woman, because it could be quite challenging in the whole area of competition.
Yeah, exactly. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have really enjoyed working with you and talking with you today. Do you have any other thoughts or anything else you want to throw out there, put out there?
I would just say, in the whole, if anyone is interested in getting into the safety field, just know which direction that you're headed. And if you come up, if you have any stumbling blocks, mm-hmm. if you fall down, just get back up, dust yourself off, and keep going. So many times I'll see people that say, oh, they start something, but they don't finish it.
Truly, yeah.
You know, yeah. Or stop something and maybe they get sidetracked. Life happens.
Yeah.
Just if you have a goal in mind, don't give up. Just keep going.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure as well.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks for everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.